enter the zone. The Prophecy Zone. Your end time watchman. Bringing you light in a dark world. Where truth is rivaled with a lie. And the Matrix is normal life. Luke 21. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things. Rivaled with a lie, and the Matrix is normal life. Luke 21.
Okay, something is really acting crazy on Blog Talk Radio these days. I just played my theme, should have never happened, and played it twice, and then it cut it off, and it came straight to this. And now I can hear my own self for no reason, apparently no reason at all. So we're going to just handle it. We're going to take care of this technical difficulty, and we'll be right back. Please stand by. So it wasn't Blog Talk. It was my fault because I already had a window open for the show, and I just forgot that I had a show window. Y'all might have only heard it one theme song. But for those technical people on Blog Talk Radio who already have their own show, I'm going to be going, I've already called in as a guest, so I'm actually going to be stepping out on my porch and doing the rest of the show because I have a terrorizing 2-year-old who is turning 3 tomorrow, and hopefully he's graduating to a much kinder and gentler world. But just in case if he decides to go on and enter the zone, the extra zone of 2 years old, please pray for us. Lucky I'm an authoritative figure, or else who knows what this kid potentially is of wrecking the whole world and taking peace from the earth. But anyway, we are very much happy to be here tonight. We have Trevor Davis from Sounding the Alarm here today, and we're going to be talking about the gospel. We're going to talk about preparation for the end times. But first, I want to cover a couple of things. Right now, as we stand here, April 10th, 2011, of course, if you make it to that point and your health is good or there's no misfortunes that will become you, you will be able to see the end times come to fruition. And we're at a point now that we still don't know when it's going to happen. It could happen this year, next year, the year after that, the year after that, or the year after that. But the more I watch news, the more I see it is evident that we're very close to the end times. I see something happening where the nations are aligning themselves with each other in groups. And I also see where Jesus said there should be wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for the end is not yet. And then it says that ethnos will turn against ethnos. And we're seeing that in the Middle East right now. But as you read that chapter, and you read the verses in Matthew 24, you'll notice that it talks about a trouble with ethnos against ethnos. Now, that's been happening ever since Jesus went to heaven. Now it is still going on. And but in that sentence and in that verse, you notice that it makes this quick transition, and it says that nation should rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So it's almost as if time was going on since the ascension, since Jesus went to heaven, and all of a sudden, a climactic war that engulfed the whole world happened, which will be the Antichrist platform as he arises. Now, in the Middle East, Hezbollah prepares to send 100 missiles daily at Tel Aviv. And we know that is going to happen. And we know that Ishmael and Isaac will continue to fight until these things are completed. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and we're going to be right back.
You're entering the prophecy zone, where truth will be reviled. You're entering the zone where truth is more stranger than fiction. You're entering the zone where you'll find that good is evil, blue is red, black is white, and truth a lie. You're entering the zone where you'll find that every human is in a race of his or her soul, and truth is more stranger than fiction. Wars, the mark of the beast, Israel, the European super state, the rapture of the church, and more. Don't be afraid to enter the zone. The Prophecy Zone.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the scripture tells of his coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
This is Prophecy Zone Radio.
All right, we're back. Sorry for all the commercials. But sometimes I have reasons why I play a lot of commercials. You guys will never know until you get in heaven, in case you won't really care, because that would be insignificant by then. As long as I preach the gospel, right? Wanted to continue on before I bring my guest on, just to iterate that we preach that, and on this ministry, that We believe now. We're not right. I thought Juan Carlos was the Antichrist, so go figure. It really doesn't matter because Jesus Christ is the one we should be looking for anyway, right? So I'm going to be wrong. I don't enjoy a ministry of be right. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of people who form a gospel or a teaching off of we're right and everybody else is wrong. I'm going to be wrong. I can tell you that right now. If I was right, then the rapture would have happened a long time ago. Of course, if a lot of people is right, the rapture of the church or the coming of the Lord or the tribulation period, whatever way you want to put it, would have been already happened. But I was wrong. But am I totally wrong? Nope. No, I don't think nobody's totally wrong unless you believe that the seals of the trumpets have already been opened. I've heard some ridiculous stuff to say that the seals and the trumpets were already open. If that's the case, then they have opened. They have done. Remember in chapter 5, they asked who can open the seal? Jesus is the one who opened the seal. And if you notice that the seventh seal opens up the first trump. So if Jesus needed to open up the first seal to open up the seventh seal, which will open up the first trump, which will open up the rest of the trumps, which will open up the seventh trump, which will open up the first bowl, which will open up the rest of the bowls and complete the judgment, they're doing Jesus' job. Anytime you say that we're in the second trump, and I think that earthquake in Japan was the fifth trump, and, you know, just making up stuff. No, we can't open up the seals for Jesus. That's why he asked the question, who can open up the seals? There's nobody worthy. Don't try to open it up for Jesus, please. 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 And then those the people who fight against the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Look, if God give us the numbers to count, and he said this, it'll be this and this and this and this many days before this happens, and this and this and this and this and this many days before that happens, then don't you think the pre-tribbers are in the thick of things in the competition to be correct? But do we really have to exclude the post and the mid-tribbers? Or should I say, do you post-tribs and mid-tribs have to exclude the pre-tribbers? Because they think we're aliens, which actually we are. We're pilgrims. Oh, wow. I never thought of it that way. Yeah, we are. So if you want to think we're aliens for thinking that Jesus actually can disintegrate alien elements and transport them somewhere else, then you need to read the Bible a little bit more. In 6 days, he created all of this. So you telling me he can't lift a rock that he has built? I'm pretty sure he can. Real quickly, Book of Ezekiel 38 and 39 is when Russia invades Israel. Now, why did they invade Israel? Why to seek booty and to take a prey, and the hooks and the jaws were the reason why these guys came down. But if you look very closely, what does Isaiah 17 have to do with this? Could Isaiah 17 play a factor? Can you tie these two together? Damascus is no longer a nation, and then at the end of the chapter it says the nations rush in like a mighty wind. Could that nations rushing in like a mighty wind be Ezekiel 38 and 39? And where does the Antichrist come from? Could Damascus play a big role because Damascus was no longer a city? Maybe they don't have a leader. And maybe when the Bible says in Malachi that he is the Assyrian, maybe he is actually an Assyrian? Or do we have to get caught in a box thinking that we have to believe that he is European descent? He's not European descent. The Bible is giving you millions of clues that he is Roman descent, and he's from the people that shall destroy the temple. And in 70 A.D., Titus and his generals destroyed the temple. So he is Roman. But Rome did not just cover the European Union. It covered Europe, Africa, and the Middle East. And if Alexander the Great's four empires were disintegrated, were taken over by four generals, and one of the generals was in charge of the Seleucid Empire, and the Antichrist is a mimic of Antiochus Epiphanes, there's a good chance that he came from the Assyrian Empire. Or the Antichrist will arise from the Assyrian Empire. Why is this important? Because of the stuff that's going on in the Middle East. Very important. I think it's setting the stage. So it's probably ideology that's setting the stage in the Middle East right now for Sharia law and the rise of the Antichrist. He should change the times and the laws. So the Antichrist will rise up after the Russian war. The Russian war will start because of the Syrian. Damascus was destroyed. So he should put hooks in the jaws of Russia. So they're responding because Israel nuked Damascus. Now, why did Damascus ended up being nuked? Can we tie anything to Damascus being nuked? Can we tie some? Is there a war? Is there a passage in the Bible that says everybody that's not in Ezekiel 38 and 39 will be in a war that will cause Israel to drop a nuke on Damascus? And we need to pray for the people over there in Damascus that they would be saved. Real quick, Psalms 83. Could they be a part of Psalms 83? Could the war has started this summer? If it was this summer, if it would be next summer. And also, technically, I believe in the Jewish feast. So when Jesus comes, when Jesus was here on walking the face of the earth, notice he did everything by the Jewish feast. He even rose from the dead by the Jewish feast. And the church was formed by Pentecost. So the church was born on Pentecost, which is the last feast at that time that was dealing with true prophecy. Now, the church, since the church has been moving through the earth, preaching the gospel and being a restraining tool for the Spirit, Holy Spirit, now we're waiting for something else. And when Jesus intervenes back in time, could Rosh Hashanah play a big part and the times? Maybe something happened. Maybe this is just all speculation, by the way. I don't hold the patent on Bible prophecy. Oh yeah, I might send for the patent, but I have to talk to the one who breaks the seals. Oh, okay. So I can't. No, I'm just being sarcastic. You don't. There is no patent on Bible prophecy. I can be wrong as I do it, but I'm just trying to be funny because I got a guest coming on. The Rosh Hashanah, there's going to be a war. Whenever Rosh Hashanah happens, whenever this time comes when Jesus decides to come, we don't know no day and hour. We don't know the time period. But I'm just trying to say, if this happens the way some people think it's going to happen, which it never does, then we can be at war next year, 5 years from here, 10 years from here, Rosh Hashanah, the spring feast, where there's a war. Psalms 83 war, Ezekiel 38, 39 war, same time, simultaneously, boom, Jesus Christ takes the church out, Antichrist rises, signs a peace deal on the tabernacle, and then 7 years later comes back for, you know, and restores everything to peace. And for you guys who think that this world is just lovely and the United States is a beautiful country, you're right. But to think that it's better than heaven, you need to have a brain surgeon. I got a 1 year upstairs crying. So I have to, we decide we're going to stay in this apartment for one more. It's a nice apartment though, but we decide we're looking for a house. We're going to get a house. And I don't have no door on my, studio. So if I stay here for another year, trust me, you know what I'm going to be getting next. I'm going to call a carpenter. And he's going to put me up a wall, and I'm going to shut the door, and I'm going to do lots of shows. So, and we are up pretty much. Our goal is 10,000 listeners before the end of the summer, maybe more a month, and then higher than that afterwards. We could be really high if I would have had more room to do. Oh, excuses. Yeah, I guess we all have excuses, which are not good. Procrastination is next to apple pie in America. We all have a procrastination. You know, that's what they should do. They had a wrestling match of people. I guess it was in California. It wasn't a wrestling match. It's a laughing competition, but they were in a ring. What Americans should do is that we should have a procrastination. Put everybody in the ring and just say, you know, I'm going to build me a two house. This summer, I'm going to attend college courses, you know, just have like a bout and whoever can come up with the most silliest one. you know, or the one that they know doggone well they're not going to do, then they win. I don't know. But one thing we should not do in the Christian faith, we should pray, and we should, you know, ask God to guide us and give us the strength not to procrastinate His will upon the earth, because we will all stand in front of Jesus and give an account for what we have done for Him. But I've waited long enough. I'm so sorry for my guests, but anyway, Trevor.
Hello, Phil. This is
Hey,
Trevor.
How you doing, sir?
It's good to meet you. Thank you.
Good to meet you too. Sorry it took me so long to bring you on. I haven't had a show where I can blab my mouth. So I think the next show I'm gonna have to blab my mouth. I say things so quickly, it's just like wow. But I'm going to go ahead and bring myself on as guest, and then I'm gonna step out on the porch and we have a conversation right now. But how you been doing?
The Lord about all these things, and I'm really submitting myself and humbling myself as a child, seriously, because He's our teacher. Only the Lord can teach us these things.
Yes.
Like you said, the Lamb of God is the one that has control over the seals, but
yes.
I'm completely relying on Him and letting Him be my teacher, and
yes.
I believe that these things are being unsealed right now for the righteous
yes.
in Christ.
Yes.
So, you know, this
yep.
is a spiritual exercise, this is a spiritual dialogue, and I want to encourage our listeners tonight that this isn't a mental thing, this is a heart
yep.
thing, and that
yep.
we need to be really abiding and loving our Lord and being obedient,
yep.
and He will not let us believe the lie. He won't let us
yep.
be deceived, and He'll give us understanding what's coming so we'd be prepared.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. How did you, what's your testimony? How did you come to know the Lord?
You know, I was raised to believe in the gospel since my childhood, thank God,
yeah.
by my parents, even though they were
yeah.
they were in one of the mainline denominations. But as a child, I really believed in God, but I didn't understand about walking with Him. And by His
yeah.
grace and kindness, He's kept me through those years. When I was 20 years old, I broke my collarbone, and that's when everything came to a stop. God just stop everything. I couldn't go to work. I couldn't, you know, do the things of normal life. And He was working repentance in my life, and I would just cry because I knew that God had called me, but I didn't know what it meant. And I was just, you know, sinning before the Lord, and He started convicting me.
Yeah.
So I started reading the Bible, and on February 3rd, 1981, is when I really said, Lord, I want to serve You. Oh, I give You my life, and I ask You to teach me and use me. And it's been a process of transformation ever since.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That is an awesome thing.
God's good. I don't regret it. And I, you know, right out the gate, Phil, I lost my friends, and that's what I saw. What Jesus said about that. He said, "Happy are you when men separate you from
yes.
their company for my name's sake." And I go,
yeah.
"Okay," you know. And the Lord said that Jesus was my example, that I was to follow Him, and He said,
yeah.
you know, I would look at what the Bible says, and I would look at what's going on in church, and I'd scratch my head, and I had to make the decision, as we all do, what are we going to believe? We're going to believe what
yeah.
the Lord has said, or are we going to believe what man has said? And
yeah.
I just pray that all of us, I believe we're going to be amazed at what God does in our life in these coming days. His great power is demonstrated as He judges those that refuse to repent. And
yeah.
He's going to bring deliverance and salvation for those that love Him and believe and repent.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And God is good. He is working in people's lives today. I tend to go to a big event where, you know, there's a lot of people there. And I look around the, you know, the audience or the store or wherever I'm at. And I'm thinking to myself that God knows the very hairs on everybody's head, and He doesn't get them mixed up between me and yours or somebody
mm-hmm.
else's or my wife's hair or the lady sitting at the cash register. He knows them particularly by the number of hairs on their head. He doesn't get them confused. So, and it's a wonderful thing to know that God can be that personal, and we can be that personal with God. You know, that the veil at the cross was broken, you know, torn.
Mm-hmm.
And we are able to come to the feet of Jesus and ask Him you know, to walk with him. And that's some of the things I'm learning. I've learned, and I'm 42 years old, and you're fortunate enough to understand that a while back. But with me, a daily walk with Christ, it's pretty much been illuminated for me lately, because I'm starting to see what a lot of pastors was preaching about earlier when they say that, you know, or even me with my own experience, that when I'm down there praying, I can think of all kinds of stuff when I start praying. But before I step down there to pray, I wasn't thinking of anything, or Bible reading. I mean, and we forget that if those things are part of the weaponry in Ephesians chapter 6, if all of those are part of the weaponry, then the enemy would love to get those weapons out of our hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I come to find out that the war is some of the most obvious stuff that we should be doing if we love the Lord. But the war is just like, I was talking to a guy earlier today at church, and he was saying that he goes to a man's support for, I guess, addictions and stuff like that. And, you know, I don't have it all together. But one thing I do know, and I do understand, in the times that I've been walking with God, is when I got my eyes on the Lord, my priorities are right, His will is working through me, you know, and I don't slip to do anything that I shouldn't be doing. It's when I take my eyes off the Lord and find some other gadget to put it on, is when I come to to failure. And I understand why Peter sunk, and Jesus, you know, picked him up, and he was able to walk, you know, continue on and get in the boat. But, you know, that relationship is the most powerful thing to keep us from sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's the power of God, which comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ, rather than just a, you know, a thought that, hey, I'm saved. You know, and then wonder why we struggle, because I struggle. When I was in Hawaii, I used to struggle a lot. And that was a couple of years ago. And just like in the last couple of years, God is free, you know, complete. Because we forget that Jesus has come to break us from bondages. And I don't hear that preached. I don't hear that preached a lot of times.
No.
Is that he comes in to break the bondages of sin and the shackles that easily beset us. And sometimes knocks us out. But go ahead.
That's true. First of all, you were just talking about the love of God and how He knows us so intimately. I mean, He's our Creator. He's our Father. He has fashioned us. We didn't make ourselves. And He has called us to be in His Son, Jesus Christ, that died for us, bore our sins on the cross.
Yeah.
And He died. He was buried for 3 days. And He was raised from the dead, according to the Scriptures. And this is the gospel. And when you believe that from your heart, this is what the Bible says. We're not talking about head knowledge, but when you believe it from your heart, you talk about the power of God. You activate the power of God to bring deliverance, and God cleanses you, washes you, regenerates you, and renews you through the Holy Spirit. Every single thing we need is in Jesus Christ. He's our all in all, our all sufficiency.
Yes,
and
indeed.
This, you're right, though, on a daily basis, like the children of Israel, when the manna came down, they were to eat it sufficient for the day.
Yeah.
But Jesus is the true, you know, manna that came.
Yeah.
But they died. They died, but Jesus is the true manna. He that eats of Him will never die. So it's a faith. Can I share a scripture, Phil, from Philippians 3,
please.
Verse 9? This scripture has amazed me just in recent days, how the Holy Spirit has brought this to me. And I want to share this with you. It says, and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And it's amazing. Paul's saying that I would be found in Him. See, that's what you want to be found. When this age ends, Phil, and all these things are fulfilled, as we were talking about prophecy, and it will surely come, you want to be found in Christ.
Yes.
You don't want to be found in yourself. Doug, Sue, Sherry, Monica. You know, I don't want Trevor. I want to be in Jesus Christ, in the body of Christ. And this is the man that God is looking for. He's looking for the one that is broken, contrite, and trembles at His word. And God doesn't dwell in temples made of stone. He dwells in a man, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the temple made without hands, and we're part of it as we believe in him.
Amen. 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 So that was a wonderful scripture, brother. Yeah, that was a wonderful scripture.
Well, he went on, and Phil, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
Resurrection, yes.
And the fellowship of his sufferings. And that's not proclaimed either. But we are going to go through, if you're in Christ, you're going to go through the sufferings of Christ. And by the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit, God will give you the grace to go through the betrayal, the persecution, the things that we're going to go through in these coming days.
Yeah,
and
I'm already going through.
And being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. See, this is the focus of Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
As a father, he's teaching the children of the faith. And this is what we want to be. I want to be found in Christ. And I pray that everyone seek the Lord like never before. These are days of the fulfillment of Scripture coming to pass on so many facets.
On so many, And I don't know if the Pandora's box is going to open up. Well, I'm just being funny when I say it, but I don't know if we got more to look to before, you know, Jesus comes back. But it seems to me that we are in some point of time where things can change overnight, and I understand why. In Matthew's 25. I used to wonder why, how did the virgins have time to tell the other five virgins that go buy your own oil? And I thought about it, and I realized that if prophecy was coming to fruition, a lot of people's attention will be on the events that are coming, and that is why in Luke 21, he says, do not be overtaken by the, you know, the drinking and partying and reveling and the cares of this life. And also when Jesus talked about the different grounds that the seed fell on, it wasn't talking as if these people were not in the body, or excuse me, let me rephrase that, in the church. It was referring to them as if they were part of the church building. They were coming in every Sunday and, you know, fellowshipping, or if you want to say hanging around. And it's going to be hard to tell when, once the bridegroom, you know, once the groom comes to the door and says, hey, I'm here, it's going to be hard to change your theology. Because if you think you can be saved by works, or you can be saved by another way, or you can be saved by religion, you know, being religion. It's going to come to a point where the five virgins say, go find your own oil. By the time they find out and come back, the master's took in his church, his true body. I don't know if I lost you or not. it's kind of like working with the theology today, like purpose-driven and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get yourself mixed up, it's going to be hard to find. So I don't know what your post-trib, pre-trib, mid-trib, but at the time that God, Jesus, does take his church out, which eventually he will, it's going to be hard to change your theology, because you're going to have to go and sit down somewhere in a quiet space. And, you know, we're Americans, we can't do that. We just can't be quiet for 5 minutes. We got to be doing something, whether it's watching American Idol or watching NFL football, step on my own feet. But you're going to have to find out what's the true, how do you really get to heaven? And if you don't do that, then you're going to be left behind. I mean, and that's what I fear for a lot of people, and I fear that mostly for myself. So I had to sit down and say, hey, how do you get saved? Is it a one-day event? You know, I had to sit down and literally ask these questions, because like a Berean, I don't want a pastor telling me how to get saved. I mean, a pastor don't come by my house every day and feed me. Here's a smorgasbord. We bought it, you know, push it in my garage, eat, and then we'll be back tomorrow, and you're going to eat again. A lot of people live off what their pastors say, you know, on Sundays. Go ahead, bro. Yeah, I'm kind of getting hyped now. So.
Well, you know, Phil, right now, you know, what God's looking at right now is, do we love him? Yes or no?
Yes.
And if
yes.
we love him, we will obey him.
Yes.
And if what Jesus has said, you know, why do you call me Lord and don't do the things I say? And Jesus
yes.
has given us a really amazing picture of what the end times will be like before his second coming, the time of the end,
mm-hmm.
the age,
yeah.
and
yeah.
as well as the apostles and the holy prophets of old. And
yeah.
but, you know, if you don't come to Jesus, pick up your
mm-hmm.
cross, deny yourself, and follow him, like on a daily basis, like he said, you'll never see it.
Yeah.
You'll
yeah.
be blind. And if,
yeah.
it's even worse, Phil, by being religious.
Yes.
In the prophet Isaiah chapter 29, 10 through 13, the religious system in that day, we're talking about the seers, the prophets, and the rulers. The book became sealed. They didn't have the revelation. And when Jesus actually came, they sought to kill him. They were just doing their own religious thing and actually didn't love God, didn't have the word of God abiding in them. And we don't want that to happen. And that can happen to any one of us if we don't love our Lord and prepare for his coming and have oil in our lamp. And
yes.
let our lamps be burning.
Yes. Yes. And talk to me more about this religious activity, the religious lifestyle. Talk to me some more about that. I want to
okay.
hear that.
Well, you know, the apostles in Jesus had talked about, well, the first thing that Jesus warned about in Matthew 24 was take heed that no one deceive you. I mean, deception will be so rampant.
Mm-hmm.
And look at our culture today as we watch and pray, and we're observing, if you can really see with spiritual eyes, how
yeah.
the world system and people that are servants of Satan have deceived the masses. And Babel, the spirit of Babylon, has gone through the world with the wine of the wrath of her fornication and made the nations mad, just drunk. And this, so we see the media through the music, the movies, the TVs, the literature, and it was a deliberate plot. But those that knew their Lord and were serving the Lord wouldn't be swallowed up into that. But this is the exhortation of the Lord. Is take
yeah.
heed, lest anyone deceive you. And
yeah.
if you love the truth, buy the truth and sell it not. You know, if you love the truth, God will not turn you over to believe this great delusion. Strong delusion's coming, a great lie. And for
yeah.
the ones that have not loved the Lord, not studied the Scripture, they're going to believe a lie.
Yes, 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 yes. And the thing is, I see throughout American history, you know, I've seen just recently in the last, you know, I've read about 50 years, and I kind of see miniature delusions. And I'm not, you know, I don't know what you believe, and I'm not trying to actually ask
mm-hmm.
what you believe about these issues. But, for instance, 9/11 or JFK assassination, those are little bitty, those are things that, if you really think about it, you know, it seems to be something that was not always 100% in your face. You know, these are the facts. You know, there was one gunman. Live with it. But in the end times, it's going to be a point where, you know, the strong delusion is going to mimic something of reality that, to me, if you were believe that there was only one gunman, you're going to probably believe a lie pretty simply. It's going to be pretty easy to lie to you.
Phil,
that's the danger of the thing.
We're lied to on a daily basis, constantly,
yeah.
through the movie. I mean, all things are lawful to us, but not all things are expedient. And, I mean, there's
yeah.
certain media I just don't watch. I don't want it.
Yeah.
I hate being lied to.
Yeah.
And speaking of the lies and the deceivers, there's deceivers and false prophets, false teachers that the Bible tells us will come into the so-called church of God and teach heresies,
yeah.
even
yeah.
denying the Lord that bought them. And we have that going on right now.
Yeah, and the thing is, brother, you can turn it on TBN right now, and there may not be a lie there. But, I mean, you might be able to turn it in there 30 days in a row. But from some of the stuff that I've heard some of these TBN people say, and God bless them, not all of them, but a few of them that I have problems with, I won't mention any names. But their theology, if that's what they believe, then some of us are in trouble. But the thing is a lot of these guys on TBN, if you listen to it very closely, spend 80% of the time telling us what we can get from God. and what he can give to us, and what we, you know, what little we have to do to him, as long as we stay faithful to their ministry and send them some money, which may not be an all-out theology problem. But then I've heard theology problems where, you know, Jesus, you know, did not claim to be God, or he went down to heaven or hell, and they had a boxing arena there, and he beat Satan up, and, you know, he you know, not only took away the keys, which he actually did, but they make it sound like he just paid the penalty down in hell. I mean, it's so many things going on right now in the emerging church and
right.
All around us that we're all the end of delusion. We just need the ultimate delusion. He's going to send us in Thessalonians, first, that's only chapter 5. It's going to be an ultimate delusion. So we've been groomed, like you say in the movies. We're being groomed for the ultimate delusion. I don't know what that's going to be, UFOs or aliens, which is actually going to be demons. I don't know. But it's coming. And like you said, we don't know the word enough. You know, we're not Bereans.
Right.
We're going to fall for it.
The devil's the author of, you know, confusion. He's the deceiver. He's a liar, murderer, thief.
Yeah.
And this is why we need to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ and study the scriptures. And that way you won't believe a lie. You'll see the Word of God is a living book. It's a living. It's powerful. It's like a two-edged sword, and it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yeah.
And we absolutely have to have discerning of spirit, and we have discernment also through the Word of God. And also discernment comes from a pure heart before God, because having eyes and seeing, the ability to perceive comes from the heart. It's a heart condition. Again, remember we were talking about that.
Yeah.
And if there's any of our listeners tonight, you know, we were talking about having the love of God, or if you can't change your heart. These things have to come from God. So ask Him. You know, he's the author and finisher of your faith. So whatever you need, ask Him. But surrender to Him, and He will help you. I have a really important scripture here, Phil. Is that okay with Phil? With Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. This is Apostle Paul. Brethren, he said, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. So Paul saying, mark other leaders that are like Paul's ensample. The word ensample is in Greek typos, and it's not a superficial example. It actually has to do with an impression. It's multidimensional. And if you read the letters of Apostle Paul, you not only find his doctrine, but his manner of his life, his conduct, his motive, his heart. He had the people he was ministering to in his heart. He travailed for them that Christ would be formed in them. And it says here, do you see the difference between today's ministry, so-called, and what Apostle Paul is telling us that we should be watching for?
Oh, yes,
a godly life, a motivated. Yes. He was a humble servant, and he wasn't a burden to the people. And he was like a father. Now, let's go on and read verse 18. This is Philippians chapter 3. For many walk, of whom I've told you oft, now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ.
Yeah.
Apostle Paul was weeping over this and very troubled, and it was a great problem in that day, as well today.
Yeah.
People were enemies of the cross of Christ, and he's going to tell us what they were like so we would know.
Yeah.
Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. These are people that, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And there's people that just feed their flesh, like you cited earlier about not letting your heart be overtaken with eating and drinking, and that day come upon you. But when you're just feeding your flesh, your God is your belly. This is what he's talking about.
Yes.
He's talking about those that glory in their shame, the things that they esteem, the things they think are important are actually an abomination to God.
Uh-huh.
They've made marketing of the gospel, for example. They view it. There's actually a book by Barna called Marketing the Church.
Wow.
Isn't that a shame?
Yeah.
I don't know how they ever got a way to sell that. That shows us how fallen the church world is. And this last thing, it says they mind earthly things.
Yes.
See, the ways of this world and the world are passing away. We need to be heavenly-minded. We need to have Jesus Christ be our life and be about our Father's business. These things are coming to pass, ladies and gentlemen. Wars, rumors of wars, famines, and pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. And then the persecution of the faithful is coming, and betrayal, deception, false Christ, false apostles, and great wars. But you want to be serving the Lord and looking, lifting up your head and rejoicing, for this day is coming to pass. And you want to stand before the Son of Man, because the Lord will keep you through it. And His kingdom is coming. He's going to defeat these rebels that have hated Him, and all the enemies of the cross shall be utterly defeated.
Amen. Amen. Where do you live at?
I'm in Montana. I was originally living in Southern California, and in 2005, the Lord was really speaking to me about, from the Scriptures, from the Holy Spirit, dreams and visions, which all parallel with the Scriptures, and He showed me that these are dire times, and that the Lord showed me several aspects, and I put it on tape, and I have a transcript of it, and I've left my homeland, I left my business plans, I left everything, and I felt the Lord told me to go to the mountains here in Montana.
Yeah.
Okay. I've traveled quite extensively over the years. Been light on my feet.
Yes,
but for today, I believe I'm where I'm supposed to be. Thank God.
Yes, amen, amen. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. How much more time do you have available? You have, because I got 43 minutes left.
I'm available, sure.
Okay, I'll be right back. We'll be right back.
This is Prophecy Zone Radio.
You're entering the prophecy zone, where truth will be reviled. You're entering the zone where truth is more stranger than fiction. You're entering the zone where you'll find that good is evil, blue is red, black is white, truth a lie. You're entering the zone where you'll find that every human is in a race for his or her soul, and truth is more stranger than fiction. Wars, the mark of the beast, Israel, the European superstate, the rapture of the church, and more. Don't be afraid to enter the zone. The Prophecy Zone.
Join us on the Prophecy Zone as we talk about world events in line of Bible prophecy, end time revelation. How soon is Jesus Christ coming back from the earth to take His own out? It is a pre-trib rapture that we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. Keep looking up, for the Lord is coming soon.
Trying to get a door put up in my office. It's a nice size. It's a little office, about 8 by, well, actually about 12 by 8, maybe smaller, 12 by 7. But it'll do. As long as I put that door up there, I'll be fine. And then if, like right now, sitting out on the porch on the back, I'm just talking to you guys and doing this interview with Trevor tonight. So let's get back to what we were talking about, brother.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, Phil, I want to encourage people tonight. You know, we saw a lot of abuses in Christendom, like on the faith doctrine. They basically used the scriptures out of context and distorted it, used principles of God for temporal reasons and lusts, actually, and it was very displeasing. But I want to encourage people, because here's why. The Lord is sending great judgments through the earth. He's judging the gods, okay? He's judging things that people put their faith in other than Him. So you're going to have to come full circle and have faith in the Lord.
Yeah.
You're going to believe on a daily basis that the Lord will meet your needs. He will provide. Yeah. He will take care of you. He will be your healer. He will be your comfort. He will be your teacher. Every single thing you need, you're going to learn to rely on the Lord. And I'm telling you, though these days are dark and oppressive and terrible,
yeah,
in that sense of what God's going to do in your life, if you'll be like a child, humble before Him, walking with Him, it's going to be the most amazing, exhilarating, glorious day.
Amen.
So seek the Lord, really, and know Him, and have
yeah,
go through the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ, and that you may attain unto that resurrection that Paul was talking about.
Yes, yes, indeed. Amen, amen. So are you able to access computers and stuff like
yes,
that?
Yes, yes, I'm online right now.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm looking for some host to come on and help us out if you feel like the Lord. I mean, you know, go pray about it and 'cause you're the first person I actually asked, you know, just come on and straight up and just say I'm looking for. I guess I can have 20 women hosts, and I'm not a sexist or nothing, but I'm looking for some males who will come straight at and preach the gospel
mm-hmm,
according to the way it should be preached, and
and
that's what we're looking for, is if, you know, do a show for us once a week, you know, and proclaim your gospel, proclaim the message of the gospel rather. Because I like to think, you know, that we're with me, I kind of back off, you know, and I do show Sunday. The only reason why I only do show Sunday is because, like I say, it's a lot of stress to do a show, because it's a lot of things I have to, you know,
mm-hmm,
think about. Well, we got a neighbor that's being used by spiritual forces to come after us, and we have a restraining order, and I mean, we just got a lot of stuff going on, and pretty soon we're going to be, you know, I can't do a show every night anyway, because I got four other hosts, you know, like I say, I'm trying to get more hosts so we can, you know, spread this word and get it
mm-hmm,
out there and warn, you know, people. Because this is very important. Because what you said tonight is what's been on my heart, is that the relationship with Jesus Christ, and acknowledging, of course, He's our Savior and He's our Lord, but to obey Him and to live for Him on a daily basis,
mm-hmm,
is what truly our lifestyle should be. Because a lot of people believe that you can mingle, and you can saturate yourself with the world, and in that way you're okay as long as you're carrying on the traditions of your mother and father, and the traditions of everybody else who goes to church on Sunday. You know, maybe you go to a few group meetings, but Jesus needs to be saturated in your heart. He has to be the all that and a bag of chips plus the factory plus every other potato on earth.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be your all in all. And I'm sorry to say this, but I've had pastors in the past who told me this. But it just hit at a certain angle just about a couple months ago that, hey, I have to live this life submitted to my Lord. Now, you say all things are lawful for me, and, oh, yeah, I'll take my kids to a cartoon. Sometimes I'm just like, man, let's go. And he's like, no, I mean, no, let's go, let's go. You know, I watch TV shows, but I'm really selective about my shows. But that doesn't get you saved. What gets you saved is reading the Word of God, knowing your Lord, knowing that what He did for you on the cross and what He's still doing for you today, and knowing Him intimately, on an intimate basis. Let me sit down. Let me stand. Let me sit at the feet of Jesus. He's the most important thing in my life. And in that way, if I put Him first, it makes me a better husband, makes me a better parent, it makes me a better person. You know, it makes me a better friend, it makes me a better brother in Christ. But when I sort of put Him first sometime on different issues and stay over here on the side, and I'm still learning this. You know, I'm still learning to be closer to the Lord. I mean, it's hard to me because, like I said earlier, it is a war. And the devil don't want you doing this and then doing that because he knows if you do those things, you're going to get closer to God. And that's not what he wants.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jesus was saying in John 15 that he was the true vine and that we're branches, those that believe in him. And we can't do anything by ourselves. Nothing.
Yes, we can. We can.
But
nothing
when we abide in him, I mean, a branch.
Yes.
Yeah. A branch abiding in the vine, there's no struggle there. It's actually Jesus calls us to rest, to cease from our own works and have faith. And then we do the works of faith, which actually are God's works being wrought in us and through us by him. And that's what he's looking
amen.
For.
So
there's no struggle being a branch. You just abide.
Okay, stay on that same subject. Talk to us about our sufficiency in Christ a little some more. How? Because remember when Moses, he took the stick and he took the rod and he split it to see. Supposedly he's supposed to see. We know who did the see, and the battles of the Israelites, how they won the battles when Moses lifted his hands up, and when he dropped his hands with obedience to God, he lifted them up again. They were victorious, all the way to. To the current day, we have to be, our sufficiency is in Christ. And kind of explain in what areas, and I'm just being funny here when I say this, what areas do we need Christ in? And I already know the answer to that, of course, every area. But kind of tie that, you know what I mean?
Well, we've shared earlier in this message that Jesus Christ actually is our life, that we become buried. In Romans 6, you study it, it'll teach you the dynamics of this, that when you're in Christ, you've been buried with him by baptism. You're dead.
Yes.
And as Christ was raised from the dead by the Spirit of, you know, by the glory of the Father, even so shall you be raised into newness of life.
Yes.
And it's explained there that you can either yield unto righteousness, unto life, or you can yield unto sin, unto death. It's who you yield yourself, your members unto.
Yeah.
So as you daily come to the Lord, humble yourself, deny yourself. It's not my will. Like this is the example of Jesus. Not my will, Father, but your will be done. And Jesus said all the words that the Father commanded him to speak. That is what he spoke. So Jesus is our example. Follow the example of Jesus. He is your life. You're dead. You're on the cross. And this is how you get the liberation from the depravity of sin, that we've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, see, I know you said earlier that this isn't preached, but see, that's because they don't believe it. The religious system doesn't believe it. They've actually created religion to put people in bondage. This is what Jesus condemned the Pharisees and scribes.
Yeah, actually, in the book of Jude, it says ended up bringing them back into bondage.
Yeah. See, God wants us free. He loves us. He loves each and every one of us.
Yeah.
And he's intended that we be set free, that Jesus said, he that sins is a slave to sin, but he whom the Son makes free is free indeed.
Free indeed.
And he'd go tell people, go, sin no more. And when you have faith and you're walking in obedience, you can yield yourself through the Holy Spirit and fulfill the law. That's in Romans 8. It's absolutely amazing. It's supernatural. It requires childlike faith, belief.
Yeah.
By actually believing, you are becoming obedient to the gospel. So this is what it's about, Phil.
Yes, indeed.
And I know it's not proclaimed in the religious world, but God's calling us out. This is what church means, called out. Come out of the false religious system, ladies and gentlemen. Come unto Jesus Christ. Come outside the camp and bear the reproach of Christ.
Amen.
The Lord is coming soon. He's coming for a pure bride. So let the washing and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit come and change your life. But seek Him.
Amen.
And
yeah,
love the truth. And stand up for the truth. And come out of the lie. That's my exhortation in the name of Jesus tonight.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's talk quickly about are you keeping intact with Bible prophecy?
Yes, and I have something to share.
Go ahead.
You know, in most of my walk, I knew very few people that walked with the Lord, but over the last year, I've been meeting people that really love the Lord and really fear the Lord. And I met a man of God that's very seasoned, and he's been helping me look at the things from the prophet Daniel in the book of Revelation, looking at the world empires, looking what's going on. You know, the Lord told us to watch and to pray and to seek Him for understanding. And I do believe that these things are being unsealed, as the prophet Daniel said. But there's things I don't know. I just plain can't tell you. I know, but there's some things that we can all agree about, and I would like to encourage people to observe what's going on in our world today. There is a world government today. Have you ever thought of that? Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. There is a world government right now that's going forth in the name of peace, and they're making war. There is a world government right now that has you could touch it, feel it. Remember, world government, the desire for world government is ancient. But there is actually a building, a system, an organization today that is a world government. Today, and they're going forth in the Middle East, spreading democracy, so-called.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What we see the Bible talking about in Revelation chapter 13 about this, you know, I believe we're seeing precursors, that development of the beast system, and it will continue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who the little horn is, who that will have a great mouth, and that will speak blasphemous things against the Lord, who will make war against the saints and overcome them. But we do see some amazing things in our day, right now, and this Middle East thing is crucial because, as you were talking about, when the armies of the world, just like what they're doing in Libya and Yemen and Egypt, one day they'll try that in Israel.
Yes.
And when they do that, the Lord of glory is coming back, and
Amen.
He will touch the Mount of Olives and split it. There'll be a great earthquake, and all His holy saints will come with Him, and we know about that from the Scriptures.
Yes.
So what we're seeing today is really amazing. We should be really excited about this. It should show us how near the coming of the Lord is.
Oh, yes, amen. And it would be nice to walk the street of gold without potholes. and having to wonder if the snow is going to be removed from your street before you try to head to work. Or better yet, my wife was pregnant with the baby, and she had to walk back, and we got two cars, fortunately, but she would have to, you know, actually walk to the bus stop. Fortunately, the bus stop was close enough, and, you know, we didn't have to worry about all of that stuff. But the Americans are, we're a blessed nation. But any listeners out there listening to the show, pray for the nation, pray for the president, that he make godly decisions. Even if he's not a Christian, which he proclaims to be one, but even if he's not, you think he's not, just pray for him that he will make the right decision, at least one decision that will alter, you know, these things that could come upon this nation. Because one day men will be walking in the streets of America saying what we used to have, and that's coming pretty quickly. I mean, we already to a point right now where we used to say the gas prices used to be 77 cents. And now the gas prices have headed to who knows what. So it's best to, for all listeners out there, to be thankful for what you have. Be thankful, because believe it or not, separation from God is hell. That's one of the things in hell, that we have a separation from God and everything that is good. God created air to breathe. He created pure water, at least for the first world nations, to drink that is clean. He's created, life where there's, the average person who's born healthy does not have constant pain. So for those who are out there, be thankful for what America has. We were talking about in my classroom, we were talking about the American dream. Well, everybody's talking about it and stuff like that. We wrote a quick paper, and I told them that, at the end of the class, I was like, wait a minute here. Did anybody realize that we, as Americans, pro capita, is the richest nation in the world, and our poorest person is rich compared to the, people in the third world countries? And, of course, that's human nature to want more. And I don't, look at a poor person for saying I want to get, come out of the ghetto, or I want to get do better for myself. But still, at that point, we have to think that Americans, we are blessed, especially the ones that are truly blessed. So what happens, real quickly, I'm gonna say this, is that we get caught up thinking that we don't have to pray for Congress, the president, and they got it. They have it. And they have everything under control, but not yet. The government is almost finished shut down. So we need to be thankful that we have the opportunity right now to preach the gospel and to proclaim, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I appreciate you coming on, brother.
Thank you, Phil.
I really would love for you to come back on. I don't know how is your life spontaneous, or do you have time to
yeah, one day at a time. But really, for this purpose, I believe that God gave me life is to serve Him, to preach the gospel, to proclaim the word of God, to declare the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Psalms 2, where the Lord is speaking to the political world, the kings of the earth, and the religious leaders, both, whether secular or spiritual, and God is commanding them to repent and bow their knee and heart before the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And He's commanding them. And as you were talking about, yes, we pray for our government, but they are under commandment to repent and to believe on Jesus Christ. And if they do, it'll be well with them, but if they do not, it will be woeful.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. Let's finish up right quick and talk about and I'm not ashamed to bring up the Antichrist or whoever, Mark of the Beast or 666 or Russian invasion or whatever. Tell us about your ministry. And what do y'all mostly focus on?
Well, I was telling you briefly, I was from Orange County, California. I was a real estate broker selling my parents' house that they'd owned for 38 years. This is back in 2004, 2005, before the real estate market declined. I'm single, been single for about 10 years or so. And because my parents' house was not selling, I was very, very distressed, and I was on my face before God crying out to Him. And He started really quickening the scriptures to me. And He was showing me, after the earthquake and tsunami in 2000, I believe it was 2004. Do you remember the Indonesia earthquake that rang the earth like a bell, knocked it off its axis? Hundreds of thousands of people died. I believe it was a 9.2. Well, I was thinking about that event the first week of 2005, and when I was thinking about it, the Spirit of the Lord inside my heart said, take note. And what it registered to my being was, there's going to be more events like this. And I was shocked, really. I was stunned, and then the Lord was showing me that persecution was coming to the Christians, and they weren't prepared. And my concern is Matthew 24, verse 10, where Jesus said, many will be offended and give up. And see, Jesus doesn't want you to give up your faith. And the reason why people will give up their faith, Phil, is because the Word of God is shallow in their heart, and it doesn't take in root. And when affliction and persecution come, they'll give up. And that was one of the things that the Lord showed me. And He was showing me different things from the scriptures, what Jesus said, the apostles And I started writing them down. He told me to write them down. And I did an audio tape on April 2nd, 2005. And there's different things that the Lord has shown me. And I call it an alarm. And I wanted to tell people because they don't know what, they didn't see it coming. They, you know, now, I mean, significantly, our world has changed, as you know. I mean, the economy. We've seen the word unprecedented used on an almost daily basis now with the weather and the economy and the spiritual condition of the church. We have apostasy, heresy, people rejecting the Lord, denying the Lord, mixing Christianity with other gods, other religions, other gospels. It's tragic. So there is only going to be a remnant. So that's my ministry, is to sound the alarm, to declare the coming of Jesus Christ, to urge people to seek him, to love him, to hear his voice, and do what he says.
Yeah. And that's the most important thing, is to hear his voice and train yourself to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Be in a place where we can hear it. And be in the attitude of, in the spirit of prayer all day long, as you're on the bus, or as you're on the way to work, or as you're on the bus on the way to work, you know, go to work and have a break, lunch break, go sit in your car, you know, have the idea that you can pray to God quickly. The spirit of prayer does not mean we have to be chanting throughout the day, like one of my pastors had said, but have the spirit of prayer, have the attitude of prayer all day long. That's another way that God wants us to have, is and also have joy, unspeakably unattainable by the world sometime, most of the time, but attainable by God's people. But we are so happy to be able to talk to you about the gospel. That is something that is a joy for me, at least.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you so much, brother, for coming by.
Oh, thank you. God bless. God bless our listeners.
We're going to be talking to you offline.
Okay.
And God bless you so much.
Thank you. God bless you, Phil.
You have a wonderful night.
Good night.
Good night. That was Trevor Davis, and that was an awesome interview. We'll be right back in a couple of seconds.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone.
Unblock Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same? Because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey, everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, the Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone.
We are fast approaching a war in the Middle East that will bring to the forefront the Antichrist. Hezbollah prepares to send hundreds of missiles daily at Tel Aviv. Hezbollah will be able to strike Tel Aviv directly from an arsenal of more than 20,000 missiles, a current WikiLeaks cable revealed to the Israel Press by WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. I hope I said that right. During a joint political military group meeting in November 2009, Israel intelligence officials told their U.S. counterparts that Hezbollah was preparing a long conflict with Israel in which it hopes to launch massive number of rockets at Israel per day. Like we said earlier, the Psalms 83 war could take place, and this will be a part of it. The nations are arming themselves to attack Israel, and I'm going to go ahead and quickly read from Psalms chapter 2, and I have a feeling this is what's going on, and many Bible preachers believe that this is what's going on behind closed doors. It says in Psalms chapter 2, it says, "Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Now, the only people I can know that can actually say that is the Palestinians, probably along with other nations that believe that the Zionist movement is supposed to be controlling the world. And everybody always take a few people from a race and then I tell you that this is what this race stands for. For instance, black people, all black people rob people, you know, break into people's house. All white people rule the world. Or all Mexicans want to get, you know, food stamps for free. In all races, you can't take four black people and accuse the whole black race of something. So everybody wants to take all the Israelites and say, or all the people from Israel, and say they want to control the world because the Zionists, which is true, the Rothschilds are Jewish, and they want to rule the world, which they do rule the world. They're part of the people who truly rule the world. But anyway, verse 4, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh at them, because they are saying, let us break the bands asunder and cast away their cords," talking about Israel. And it says in verse 5, "Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in the sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." Jesus is going to be set on the throne of the world, and he will rule the world with a rod of iron. Now, just because Jesus rules the world with a rod of iron does not mean that the world will be ran in a dictatorship. Believe it or not, if I tell you not to, if my wife tells me don't go and jump in the car drunk, and I do it anyway, and I end up getting my legs taken away, then who am I to say that she was wrong? Or if I tell my son not to do this or that, and he does this or that, and gets himself hurt, who can he come to me and say I was wrong? No. So when God, when we say that the Lord will rule with a rod of iron, is that so bad after all? If I tell you, if I go and tell somebody, one of my military soldiers, don't sleep with everybody, you know, make sure you sleep with the, you know, your wife, get married first. He might look at me like I'm crazy. But is it better for them that we do? How about if somebody, if you sit in a restaurant eating a bunch of hot dogs with a whole bunch of grease and slop coming out of, you know, and somebody walks up to you, the football coach, and says, you know, you need to be eating some salad. What are you going to say? I can't stand that, coach. Get away from me. You know, you're going to eat. Hopefully you will listen to him. Well, not everything that is forced is bad. And I don't like to say it that way, but like I said, leading with a rod of iron may not be so bad after all, because at least we know that we won't be trying to rob our neighbor, or you can walk down the street without being carjacked. That's what I hope Christianity, that's what I hope the kingdom of God is going to be about, is pretty, you know, people loving people. And looking out for each other. Flying drones is going to be flying across the United States soon. These flying drones can, of course, take pictures from miles away, and they probably can read a penny from way up in the air. And we know that a surveillance system is coming and is already here, that no man will buy or sell unless he has the mark or the number or the name of the Antichrist on his forehead or right arm. Also, the war in Lebanon is costing the government $650 million by the time it's done. Now, I know that's probably a messed up estimate, probably a really kind estimate in favor of the government. But make sure you guys be aware that when they cut back food stamps and go over there and bomb Libya, just make you want to just choke somebody. But we're Christians, so we should love our government and pray for them. Not love them so much as to pray for them, and love your enemies, I guess. So I guess, for real, I mean... You're going to send money to Egypt and then worry about cutting food stamps. I mean, are you serious? I mean, and then you go and buy off nations and stuff like that, and you want to cut, you know. I mean, so what if somebody want to go to college and better themselves? And you're saying, well, that, you know, that's food, you know, that's welfare is when people get financial aid. Well, if you're going to send money to another country, even Iraq, trying to buy them off. We got a picture of Rumsfeld and Saddam Hussein shaking hands. And I'm pretty sure we sent Iraq money before we blew it up. And we probably sent an Iran money. We just don't know everything. We send every country on earth money to just make sure they do what we want them to do. And if they don't do it, well, if they go by that, if they don't want to confirm to us giving them money, we just go up there and blow them up. And then we could say, well, you know what? Give me your food stamps back. We send Iran $400 million, which will cost about 10 states $400 million for food stamps. We let the American citizens starve while we send Iran $400 million to build a temple, you know, just making up stuff. You know, this is a Christian program, but sometimes I just can't help it. I don't know why somebody would not love Jesus to come back and to be saved and to go to heaven and walk on the streets of gold rather than this stupid stuff down here. I mean, I got a neighbor trying to tell him, thinking I'm trying to kill her. I mean, you gonna spend your time chasing me, and you are, I mean, let's pray for my neighbor, please. But if you guys out there, pray for her. She's my Achilles heel, or she's my what you call pain in the butt, the devil's tool. She's saying that she's calling over here. She's harassing us, and we got a restraining order out of thin air. So I mean, I'm not saying that I'm doing all of God's work here in this ministry, but to say I'm trying to kill her and to have us have to go to court and keep her away from us, that is my trial right about now. And it makes me kind of happy to know that maybe the devil is ticked off at me for some reason. I'm only talking to thousands of people. I'm not talking to millions yet. You know, I need to do a whole 3-hour show just to be blobbing off, because my critics say that I talk too much and I just keep going. Maybe it's because I kind of put myself in a position where I only got 4 minutes left and I want to say so much that I can't say so much that I just say some of the weirdest stuff. But I really got to tell you people this, is to make sure Jesus is first in your life. I mean, I know it could be a struggle, but also remember that you can't do anything. You can't even get out of bed without Jesus' help. Once you become born again, you're the devil's weapon. You're the devil's enemy. He's coming after you. So in order for you to make it, Jesus said, Paul said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's everything. You can't even go to you can't even read your Bible without God's help. And to properly interpret it. I ain't talking about just picking it up and reading the Psalms and then putting it down. I'm talking about properly interpreting it and apply it into your life. Because that's the mistake a lot of people are making in the Christian world today. We think we could be saved just by reading it as if it was a fairy tale and putting it down and not applying it. He said, those who keep my commandments are truly my disciples. You have to keep what he's saying in the Bible. It says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. It's a struggle, but do it. If he says, you know, your husband, be submissive to your husband, to do it. If he says, you know, because I got to find more people to fellowship with. I'm going to tell you right now, I've gotten away from fellowshipping with people lately. And I repent for that. And me and my wife and family and me by myself will find people to fellowship with, fellow believers. I got in contact with one of my buddies again. I thought he was mad at me from Facebook, but it turns out that, you know, it was just a misunderstanding. He was cool. We're cool. So he's going to try to want to come move and live here. And very nice gentleman. Probably one of the best friends I've had since the, you know, military. And hopefully he could come move here. But in order for us to keep going, please send your donations. No, I was joking. Send your donations to www.tbc. I'm just kidding. That's the beauty of Blog Talk, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, is you can talk to millions of people. You don't need to beg for no money. You can talk to millions of people for almost $29 a month. That's all I'm paying for all of this stuff. $29 a month. That's going to Blog Talk. I'm not saying in the future, if the Lord will, we might not have to ask for some change, you know, a little bit later. But for right now, I'm talking to thousands of people, and I'm just, you know, enjoying it. You know, I'm enjoying it. I don't have any, I guess it's when you talk to millions of people, it's when you need donations. But, you know, I'll never down anybody for needing donations. But it seems like a lot of these ministries, breath and air comes from the donation. Send me $100. Send me $100 for this mink oil towel that we have soaked for 5 days, like it's a turkey for Thanksgiving or something. I said, if you're going to soak something and have me rub it over on my forehead, I hope it smells good at least. And then you got to show me. Why don't you send me a booklet to show me where it is in the Bible that you got to send me a cloth to touch something, because you guys are killing me. I mean, geez. In that case, my wife can rub some oil in a towel and give it to me. Are you serious? I guess that's not a way to go off on a Sunday night, but I need to do a show for a whole 3 hours. I just vent. But pretty soon, you know, we're gonna be doing it. But God bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful night, and be sure to listen to the Prophecy Zone throughout the week with Susan Puzio, Christina Week, and Brenda Johnson, and hopefully some more hosts will be coming our way soon, especially the gentleman we just had tonight. But God bless y'all. You have a wonderful day. God bless.
Hold on, Chuck. You can't cook that sea bass in a greasy oven.
Why not?
You'd never cook with pots and pans that dirty, would you?
No.
New Easy Off Trigger is fume-free like the leading all-purpose cleaner and cuts through up to 5 times more grease. It's the best way to keep your oven perfectly clean every day.
Wow.
You're on something new every day. Easy Off. Good food deserves a clean oven. Easy Off cooktop cleaner. Unbeatable on tough grease.
Looking to add a little smile to your chili? Try French's. Mac and cheese need a boost? French's helps that too. Chicken in need of cheering up? Add French's to your marinade. It's a surprising way to add a little fun to your food and a whole lot of happy to your family. For recipes and valuable coupons, go to French's.com to add a little happy to almost any meal. French's. Happy starts here.
In the oven, which we've already prepped. Hold on, Sharon. You can't cook that sea bass in a greasy oven.
Why not?
You'd never cook with pots and pans that dirty, would you?
No.
New Easy Off Trigger is fume-free like the leading all-purpose cleaner and cuts through up to 5 times more grease. It's the best way to keep your oven perfectly clean every day.
Wow.
You learn something new every day.
Easy Off. Good food deserves a clean oven. Easy Off cooktop cleaner. Unbeatable on tough grease.
Why is this thing not coming off? Look at this one.
Looking to add a little smile to your chili? Try French's. Mac and cheese need a boost? French's helps that too. Chicken in need of cheering up? Add French's to your marinade. It's a surprising way to add a little fun to your food and a whole lot of happy to your family. For recipes and valuable coupons, go to French's.com to add a little happy to almost any meal. French's. Happy starts here.
Truth. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant. In a free and open society, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone.
politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate, and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
You're entering the Prophecy Zone. where truth will be reviled. You're entering the zone where truth is more stranger than fiction. You're entering the zone where you'll find that good is evil. Blue is red. Black is white. Truth. A lie. You're entering the zone where you'll find that every human is in a race for his or her soul. And truth is more stranger than fiction. Wars. The mark of the beast. Israel. The European superstate. The rapture of the church and more. Don't be afraid to enter the zone. It's the prophecy zone.
Join us on the Prophecy Zone as we talk about world events in line of Bible prophecy, end time revelation, how soon is Jesus Christ coming back to the earth to take his own out. It is a pre-trib rapture that we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
And
And so I was really interested when I was growing up in the 70s. I remember, in high school and college, I really enjoyed the Woodstock song, Getting Back to the Garden.
Yeah.
But Phil, you know what's interesting? Joni Mitchell, who wrote that song with the help of her spirit guide, named Charlie, the spirit guide actually gave her scripture and says, we want to get back to the garden to undo the devil's bargain. Pretty interesting words. Anyway, I was challenged after the suicide of my best friend to read the Bible and find some answers. Well, to my shock, I found out the Bible was a Jewish story. I thought it was a Catholic story or a Lutheran story or a Baptist story. And then I found out that Jesus was the King of the Jews. And I found out that God sent him here, and he had a major plan for the world, primarily working through the Jewish people, starting with Abraham. And so I was challenged by all these things, and I ended up trying to disprove the Bible. You know, Phil, you don't mind calling Phil or Philip, right?
Yeah, Phil, great.
Yeah, I found out that nothing in the Bible, nothing has ever been disproved.
Wow, yeah.
Now, not everything has been proved, but nothing has ever been disproved. I was really shocked about that.
Wow.
And then I found out more has been written about Jesus Christ than any other single topic combined.
Wow.
Well, I ended up giving my life to Christ. It was great for me because I was addicted to marijuana.
Yeah.
I was addicted to alcohol. I was addicted to sex. I was addicted to everything.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe what it was like to be set free from those issues. After that, I became a maniac for understanding the Bible and history. And
wow.
I found out I have like 30 some Bibles, and I was so bored in school when I was growing up, but once I got saved, I got really interested in, who are we? Why are we here? Where are we going?
Yeah.
And it's interesting. That's exactly what George Harrison of the Beatles said was the three most important questions in life. Who are you? Why are you here? Where are you going? And so, Phil, this. Until you answer, who are you? Why are you here? You're probably not going to have a
usually 9